You are listening to Water Online Radio. Coming to you live from Boston, Massachusetts and ACE 2014, uniting the world of water. This broadcast is brought to you by Water Online Radio, the voice of the water resource and recovery industry, and WaterOnline.com, enabling water and wastewater professionals to make informed decisions. Water Online, now that's clear. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
This is Todd and Todd live from Beantown. Good afternoon and welcome back to Water Online Radio's live day two coverage from ACE 14. Todd, year three of our coverage from ACE. What a great event. We're having a great time. I think we're going to get in trouble in this next
one.
We've
had a number of challenging guests in our tenure with
ACE. Did you notice you were stealing your tchotchkes, the gifts that you were given from other
people? I held
on
to my pen. My business cards are gone. My eyeglass polisher is all wrinkled up now. I think the headsets after she leaves.
Well, this is going to be a great conversation. Say hello to our next guest. Her name is Lisa Marchuka. She's the Vice President of Strategy and Marketing with Oasis. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Todd and Todd. Thanks for having me.
Now, the pleasure is ours. Good to see you. Good to spend some time with you. Lisa, before we get into our conversation, take a few quick seconds. Tell us a little bit about Oasis. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
Sure, happy to. So Oasis is really focused on transforming what we think are the most challenging waters in the world into fresh, potable water. So we're using a technology called forward osmosis, which requires no hydraulic pressure, but still gets the same removal that an RO would. So what we do is we use natural osmosis, an osmotic gradient, to pull fresh water across a semipermeable membrane that gives you fresh water at about half the cost of what it would typically take with traditional methods. And we do so with a very low pressure system that's much more cost effective than what's available today.
How big and how many and what are the nature of the opportunities to increase the water supply with this technology? I mean, what's the magnitude?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, we look at the statistics that by 2040, the available supply and demand gap will be something like 40%. So where Oasis thinks we can make the biggest dent is not necessarily treating seawater to make it fresh, but instead to reuse industrial waste streams so that they are not reliant on the limited freshwater supplies. So where we're focused are markets like oil and gas, treating produced water, removing toxins from the environment, reusing water there. We're working a lot in flue gas desulfurization, coal-fired power plants, taking the emissions from those plants and treating them to reuse in the plant. So we're really focused on making sure that the industrial market has a cost-effective solution to reuse water so that we're not reliant on the municipal supply.
Does that imply a de-emphasis on desalination of seawater, or is that still something that's worth looking at seriously?
So seawater desalination is a tremendous growth opportunity. There are several suppliers that are looking at not only doing conventional desalination using reverse osmosis, but a lot of other players that are looking at different ways to skin the cat, if you will. What we find, though, is that we have a much higher value proposition with our particular technology, treating much more difficult waters. And in those circumstances, you're dealing with industrial customers that not only have a cost that they have to reduce, but they also have a social contract. And a lot of them are reusing waters for their community or because of the CEO water mandate. But really what we're doing is we're able to do essentially what an evaporator does. So take water that's very, very high salinity, about 5 times the salinity of seawater, and put out a product water that's fresh. So essentially drinking water quality, and really go to almost crystallization. So near a zero liquid discharge product.
Lisa, as you heard, we've been broadcasting from this show for several years now, and we've interviewed a lot of really interesting companies, fascinating, innovative companies, but they're all proud to say, well, we've been around since 1892 or whatever the number is. You're a different situation there. It's a young startup. You know, a lot of these companies will say, well, we're thinking outside the box. But when you're in a startup, you can often say, I don't even see the box. We're going to forge our own path. Talk about the challenges and, more importantly, the opportunities that comes with being a really fresh company in this space.
Yeah, you're right. So Oasis was founded in 2009. So we are sort of the new kids on the block. But in a very short period of time, we've been really able to get our products and our solutions out into the marketplace. We've done a couple of things that are interesting that, you know, my previous experience has been in the water industry, working for several of the companies that have been around since the 1800s. But what we've done is focused where we can make a big impact, a short sales cycle, and really offer value to a customer where they had no other option. So in a lot of cases, we're focused uniquely in the industrial space. We're not necessarily selling equipment. We're selling water as a service. So we're making a problem go away. For example, in the oil and gas space, produced water is a growing issue. So instead of selling technology, like many of the people around the room here are doing, we're actually offering a service. So we just make the problem go away, and we give them back fresh water that they can reuse in their process. And by doing that, you're taking a lot of the emphasis off of the new technology and focusing it just on the service that you're offering. And we're doing that by partnering with some relatively large companies, companies that are in the $20 to $30 billion revenue range.
Lisa, what are the energy implications? I mean, it's one thing to provide the clean water, but at what cost in terms of energy?
Yeah. Great question. So one of the nice things about forward osmosis is that it truly is a low energy process. So if you think about how you desalinate water now, you either use high pressure pumps to pump water through reverse osmosis, or you boil water using heat. So both things, I'm sure you've both made spaghetti in your lifetime and you've boiled a pot of water. It takes a lot of energy. And I'm sure you've seen just by walking around this room, the RO systems, they have a lot of stainless steel and they worry about high pressure and high pressure pumps that are running at 1,000 PSI. So the nice thing about what we're doing is all of the pressure is created by natural osmosis. So what that means is my impeller is a chemical. So my energy is created by a higher salinity draw solution passing on one side of a membrane, and you have your feed water on the other. And by pulling that fresh water across, that's how you're creating your energy. So we're operating anywhere from a quarter to half of the energy of traditional methods because we're not relying on high pressure pumps and we're not boiling water.
No, that's really exciting. All right, so if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Lisa Marchuka with Oasis. Water reuse is obviously gaining momentum. What can we do as an industry to increase that pace of adoption?
So water reuse for the municipal front has been slow to take off here in North America. Much more traction in places like Singapore, where they have to rely on the limited water that they have. But where water reuse is really taking hold is a lot of what we're focused on in the industrial space. So, for example, we're working in a lot of power plants in even places like China. So we have a partner in China, and we are working in areas where they just don't have enough water to power these power plants. You know, China is bringing on 500 megawatts of power every 2 weeks. It's going to be 1.4 terawatts of coal-fired power plants over the next 5 years. That's a lot of water. But the cost they pay for the water in is one thing. They pay double that to discharge it. So they're incentivized to reuse. Then you look at places like Australia, and a lot of people around this room have built municipal water treatment plants, municipal wastewater plants, municipal reuse plants, and desal plants. But the most interesting thing is what's happening there is there's coal bed methane and coal seam gas. And for every barrel of oil you take out of the ground or barrel of gas, you get 3 barrels of water. And so the government's saying, well, hey, you get all this water, you should reuse it. And so those are the applications where we see reuse really taking off, is more in the industrial space.
Additional spin on the same question, adopting the notion or increasing the pace of the adoption of notion of water reuse is one thing. Apply the same question to technology. This is an industry not exactly famous for embracing quickly new technologies. How about the pace of adoption there?
Yeah, it's a conservative industry, and rightfully so. I think in the municipal space, it's difficult to adopt new technologies because you're worrying about the safety and the health of the human population. So you don't necessarily want to take ownership of a new technology and have a problem happen where, you know, you have something go wrong with your drinking water system. I think the nice way or the approach that we're taking is to show that you can have a viable solution, but get your grounding and get your footing and get some references in the industrial space where you're really just providing water for reuse in a process rather than for human consumption. Mm-hmm. And not to say that we can't do it for human consumption, but getting those references and getting the kinks out are really, I think, what's going to help adoption. Now, from a broader perspective, innovation in general in the water space is something that has been a little bit few and far between. So there's if you look around here, everyone has a new product that they're launching. But it's not really a disruptive product. It's incrementally better from what they have. So maybe they had a membrane and this one has higher flux, or maybe they have a disinfection system and this has better transmittance. But at the end of the day, they're basically the same technologies that have already been approved. Being a technology that's completely different, doing a completely different set of things using new technology has been a challenge. But again, where we've been able to find a home is being able to use our technology where we're selling a contract for water rather than selling the equipment. Mm-hmm. And that's some of the ways you can get over that hurdle.
I certainly can understand why you're playing in the industrial sandbox. I mean, I understand the impact you're having there, but I'm sitting there thinking about, boy, in light of like what's happening in the Western U.S. right now, I'm seeing a lot of opportunity in the municipal market. Is that the next move?
So in California and Texas, water scarcity is certainly the hottest topic. A lot of times they're talking about either seawater or brackish waters. Some of those have very high hardness water. So Oasis is actually developing a product that is uniquely suited for brackish waters. And the idea is that we're able to treat brackish water without having to do a lot of softening for hardness and silica. So really trying to be a little bit more disruptive. What we don't want to do is we don't want to compete head-to-head where we don't have a lot of value. So yes, huge market opportunity, but Oasis isn't going to go there until we truly have a value to offer.
Lisa, no small amount of time and cash required to exhibit here at ACE. Why is Oasis here?
Lots of good reasons. So this is a place where the company can showcase itself. We're located 0.8 miles away from here. In fact, if you gentlemen want to come have a tour after, we'd be happy to show you all that we're doing. We're super excited. You know, we're a young company. I was employee number 7. We now have 48 people. We're expanding globally, and we are really starting to make headway. And if you look around here, there's a lot of people that are not in municipal. There's a lot of companies that have come up to us that are in the mining sector, that are in oil and gas. And those the markets that we're really trying to serve.
All right. Cool. Well, in our company, Todd and I were tied for employee number 1. Just so you know. All right. Well, Lisa, I hate to say it, but we're about out of time. You know, I want to stop. When we talk to you in a year's time or 2 years' time, what are we going to talk about? What's going to be the story that you're going to present at that conversation?
We are in 7 countries with 10 installations. We have over 100 employees, and we are a profitable company looking for the next new wave of innovation.
All right, we're going to keep that little audio bit.
We've got it recorded. We're going to set that one aside.
All right, Lisa, now we're out of time. Before we let you go, where can people learn more about Oasis?
So you can, if you're at the show, please come by our booth, get your kicks at 1366, or you can look at our website. It's oasiswater.com, and we're also very active on both LinkedIn and Twitter. You could also read the Wall Street Journal. We were just featured in there on Monday's edition, or Forbes or Fortune or any other great magazines.
All right. Lisa Marchuka, the Vice President of Strategy and Marketing with Oasis. Lisa, great to have you. Thanks for stopping
Thank
by.
Thank you both.
All right. Well, that wraps this broadcast. On behalf of all of us at Water Online, this is Todd and Todd. Water Online Radio's live coverage from ACE 14. We'll be right back.